something that he would like, something that he would want. And if you consider any time where you've bought someone a gift, has anyone ever bought somebody a gift and it was a complete disaster? I mean, like a husband buying a vacuum cleaner for an anniversary disaster. Like, okay, listen, people do stuff like this, and have I ever done something quite that bad? I mean, I don't think I've had any disastrous things, but some of you have done this, because especially guys tend to think pretty logically, and it's like, well, I know that she said we need a new one, right? And she's the one that uses it the most, and, you know, so she mentioned it, and she must want one. Listen, what she wanted was she just wanted you to go buy one. She just wanted to get one. She probably didn't want it for her anniversary, because it's not really a gift for her, right? It's for the household. It's for everybody that lives there. It's probably not what she wanted for a gift. And it may have seemed like a good idea to the gift giver, but not necessarily to the receiver. Now, some of you may be a rare case, like, I would love it if my husband would buy me a vacuum cleaner for our anniversary. But on the whole, most of the time, a woman doesn't want something like that because she wants something for her. Now, we do the same thing sometimes with God. We praise him. We do things that are, they seem good to us, but is it really what he wants? If we're praising the Lord, shouldn't we give him what he truly wants and what he desires? And so that's what I want to look at today. And the basis for that is going to be Psalm 100. If you want to turn to Psalm 100, or for the 99% of you that just look at the screen, it'll be up here. I'm not putting you down or anything. I'm just saying that's our generation now. We don't usually use the Bible, but we like to look at the screen. But Psalm 100, turn there. I'm going to pray over it, and then we're going to get into this. But Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that today you speak to us through your word, and we pray that today you would, that you would show us how you desire for us to praise you, how you desire for us to exalt you and lift you up in our lives, and we just thank you so much that today that you speak to us by your spirit, that you invade our hearts, that you could have your way with us if we allow you to. So I just pray that we would do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 100, I'm going to read through it. It's only 5 verses. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. But verse 1 starts with, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations." Man, this right here is a description of what praise looks like to the Lord. And along the same lines of what I've already shared, praise should not be based on who you are and what you have. See, we get in that place so often where we kind of base our praise to the Lord based on what we have, what we're going through. It should be based on Jesus, on who he is and what he has done. That's the basis of praise. And praise is different from worship. I'm not going to get real deep into that, but praise is different in worship. In fact, praise leads to worship. Praise leads to worship because how many of you know you can praise things that are not God, right? You can praise things that are not God, and it's not wrong, okay? You can worship things that are not God, and that's wrong. But you can praise things that are not God, and it's not wrong. We praise people. Right? You praise people for accomplishing things. You praise people for doing a good job. People praise their kids, right, for going potty when they're little. I don't, like Xander and Marissa don't get any praise for going potty anymore. But when they were little, if you want me to, next time you go to the bathroom, I'll tell you good job. you got little ones that are in diapers and you're trying to get them out, what do? Like, oh, you did such a good job. And it's like, what? Most people, you'd be like, that's not that great of accomplishment. I do that several times a day. But to a little kid, it's a big deal. So you praise them, encourage them, you lift them up. People praise their dogs for doing tricks, right? You're like, oh, you did. So you might praise your dog for going to the bathroom outside, right? You're doing potty training. We praise lots of things. And those, it's not bad. It's not bad to praise things. Praise is good. But keep in mind that praise does lead to worship. And so to worship is to adore, to honor, to esteem highly, in high regard, have this great reverence for. And worship, on the other hand, instead of praise, it should be reserved only for God. Worship is something that should only be reserved for God. There's many things that are worthy of praise, but only God is good. Only God is deserving of our worship. In Luke 4:8, Jesus said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Now, if you know what that's in response to, it's in response to Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness to worship him. If you just bow before me, you can have everything. Everything you can see, it's yours. Just bow to me. And Jesus' response to worshiping something other than God was, no, only the Lord God. He's the only one worthy of our worship, of our praise. Listen, we're faced with that same thing every day. Right there, what Jesus was faced with in the wilderness. If you worship me, Satan says, you can have everything. Now, most of you are like, well, I've never worshiped the devil. I don't, you know, do like some kind of blood circle or anything like that. Well, listen, you don't have to do that to worship the devil. You don't have to do that to worship the things of this earth. You can very easily get yourself pulled into and sucked into the worship of something that man does, something that man creates, because it starts with praise. It starts with praise about, man, how good and how great somebody is, right? There's a lot of people that have accomplished a lot of things in this world, and it's okay to give them praise for that. It's okay to congratulate them, to commend them for that, but you can let it overtake you to a place where it's worship, where you idolize that person, where they're above everything else. And Jesus tells us we're to worship the Lord God only. Above anything else, we need to praise the Lord, okay? We need to praise God more than we praise other things. If you praise the Lord more than you praise everything else, guess what? You're going to worship the Lord. You're going to worship the Lord because your praise is going to build and build, and it'll lead to worship. And so praise is when we think joyfully about the things that God has done for us. And this includes thanksgiving. And so again, in Psalm 100, I'm going to start in verse 1. He tells us, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Now, why are we to make a joyful shout? It's just simply because of God, because of who he is, what he's done. And listen, this includes the promises that he has made that you have not yet seen fulfilled. Because of the promises that he's made, he's worthy of praise. Because of the promises that he's made, he's worthy for you to lift out a shout. All you lands, okay? And now, again, this can be hard when we look at what God hasn't done. When we look at what we don't have. But sometimes we just have to stop for just a minute. And maybe you haven't done this recently. Maybe today's a perfect time for this. Sometimes you have to stop and just look at what you do have. Man, just look at what you do have. Look at what God has done. And I believe if we start looking at all that we have in this life, I believe that we won't be able to do anything but shout with joy. Now listen, many of you are lacking a lot of things, okay? I'm lacking a lot of things. And if I focus on those things, I will feel down. I will feel beat up. I will feel like, man, why isn't God blessing me? And he's screaming from the mountaintop, I am. Okay? You have to recognize those blessings. And when we do, when we stop and we focus on those, we'll shout with joy to the Lord. And so our attitude, what he's telling us right off the beginning is in praise, our attitude's extremely important. If you're focused on Jesus, you can be joyful. You probably can't help but to be joyful if you're focused on him. We think about how he's good. He loves us. He died for us. He saved us. And listen, he's coming back. Listen, if that's not a reason to shout with joy, I don't know what is. Not only did the Lord come to this earth and die for you because he loved you and saved you, he's coming back for you. Yes. Praise the Lord. That's good stuff, all right? That's the Bible. That's good. And how can we be downcast? How can we be saddened when we think about those things? That's where our heart ought to be. That ought to be our priority. And so when we're in a place where we can't be joyful, listen, you're focused on something that's not God. You're focused on problems, focused on circumstances, focused on what you're lacking, how you feel, what you want, ways that you fail, who you are not. Okay, these are things, I pulled these out because these are things that I've thought of during my life. I didn't do any kind of poll. This is what men and women go through. And the whole point of praise is to take that focus off of me and to put it on him. As we read through that Psalm 100, how many times did you see something about the Lord, him, his, he? That's where the focus goes in praise. It's about him. It's all about him. That's where our focus has got to be. And so when we put our focus on Christ and take it off of ourselves, man, we're going to be able to make that joyful shout to the Lord. And if you consider people that are joyful, people that are really excited, what do? They make noise, right? Now, not everybody gets joyful and shouts in the same way, okay? Not everybody does it the exact same way. And some people, you know, are very vocal. Some are minimally vocal. But very few exercise joy in absolute silence. I'm serious. If I was to walk up to one of you, how many of you have ever seen those fake lottery tickets? One time, the Caraway family is pretty notorious, the whole extended family, not so much my part, but they're pretty notorious for giving the scratch-off lotto tickets, like five of them or something for your birthday. And one time, somebody gave my aunt one of those fake ones. I'm telling you what, there was a shout of joy. She thought she had won whatever, $50,000 or whatever it was. And she about came unglued. She was so excited, just screaming. She won, she won, she won. Now, I'm not going to tell you the other side when she found out she didn't win. But there was like extreme joy. This like, I can't contain this. I'm so happy. And she was just pumped. She was, you know, she was on fire for like this excitement that she had won all this money. We ought to be that way. Yeah, and when people tell us about the things that the Lord has done, listen, we don't all have to be jumping up and down. We don't all have to be screaming from the mountaintops. If God has created you as a quiet, reserved person, man, I'm not expecting you to start doing cartwheels up and down. If you want to, that's fine. We're open to that kind of stuff. You can do cartwheels. But if that's not the way that God's designed you, then we don't want to force something like that on you. But just the same as if you give a quiet, reserved person a lotto ticket and they won $50,000, how many of them would just sit there like this? None. Listen, I don't care how quiet or reserved you are. If you won $50,000, you'd probably at least say something. Some kind of shriek, some kind of noise, something would come out of you. And that's what the Lord tells us. He's like, man, this is something you should be excited about. You should be pumped about this, about the Lord, about what he's done for you, about how awesome he is. And when we truly know what he's done for us, how could we remain silent? How could we remain silent if we really know? And again, if you don't feel comfortable shouting, you don't have to, but make some kind of noise. Clap your hands, stomp your feet. You know, you can shout, you can sing, but don't be silent. He says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. You know who all you lands is? That's everybody. All you lands. That means nobody's exempt from that. The Lord has done good things in everybody's life, and we ought to, all of us, have something to be joyful about. something to be thankful about, something to shout about. And if we don't feel like yelling, man, you don't have to yell. But man, make a joyful noise to the Lord. We all have this reason just because of who Jesus is. Just because he's Savior, because he's healer, because he's deliverer, because he's victorious. These are all reasons that we can praise the Lord with some kind of noise. And even if you consider somebody like Job, listen, some of you guys, again, may be in a really difficult place in your life, but consider Job. You know, the Lord let Satan afflict Job pretty much any way that he wanted to, just don't kill him. Anything else, you can do it. And Job really did lose everything except for God. And here's Job's response. This is in the midst of all of this. This is after losing his wife and his children. In chapter 1, verse 20 and 22, it says, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' And in all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong." He didn't sin, and he didn't charge God with wrong. Just because his life and his world was falling apart, he didn't blame it on God. That's what our natural tendency is to do right there. It's to blame God. Like, well, God's supposed to be blessing me. I'm God's child. And if these things are going wrong in my life, I did something wrong. He doesn't love me. He's not doing this. He's not. No, God is God. God is unchanging. God is full of love and mercy and grace and truth. God is just. And God is on your side. And when things don't go our way, we need to be like Job. He's stripped down to having nothing, and he still says, you know what? Through all of this, in spite of all this, I'm still going to bless the name of the Lord, because this isn't God's fault. Okay, he's a good example there for that. And if we can praise the Lord with joy and be happy about what we have, then when we don't understand what he's done, we can still praise him and be happy. We can still praise him, not be happy about your circumstances, but happy about who he is. Happy that he is sovereign and he is in control. Just because it doesn't appear to you that he's in control doesn't mean that he's not in control. Right? Again, you take the analogies with parenting, or if all of you were a kid at one point. Maybe you're not a parent now, but you were a kid, you were a child. And I look back to all kinds of things in my life that as a kid, I just thought these were just atrocious. Like, how could my mom or dad possibly do this? Or how could they possibly feel this way? And they didn't do things the way I wanted. And I felt like they were against me. And now that I'm a parent, I see it from the other side, which I believe is more of God's angle. And I'm far from God. I'm not near as holy and righteous as the Lord. But I see things from more of God's point of view, that higher, lifted point of view, where you see more. And I'm like, man, if I only would have understood that as a child, that my parents always had my best interests in mind, always. Most of the time, it didn't seem like it to me. Most of the time, I thought, well, what the heck? Everybody, you know, so-and-so's parents are letting him do this. My mom and dad were trying to protect me. Man, sometimes you want to do something because so-and-so's doing it, and God just wants to protect you. He wants to say, no, I'm taking that away from you. Maybe he's taking a job away from you because of some unforeseen reason that you don't know. I mean, all the things that go on in our lives, they all have a purpose. They all have a reason. And I believe that if we just can understand what God has done for us, we always have a reason to praise him. And in verse 2, Psalms 100, verse 2, says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." We are to serve with gladness, and when we do things for the Lord, they ought to be joyful. If you've ever done some work with someone that you really like, you're usually happy to help, right? I mean, I've helped people that I really like and people that I didn't like in, you know, in life and in employment. You know, sometimes you're working with people you really like, And you know what happens then? Even if the job or the task isn't pleasurable, you take joy in serving the person that you like. You take joy in serving the person that you like. I hate finishing drywall. I've told my wife more than once I would never do it again, so I've only done it like twice since then. I hate it. But if I'm doing it for someone that I love, if I'm doing it for the Lord, or I'm doing it for someone I love, it can be enjoyable. I hate the task, but I love who I'm serving. I'm happy. It's pleasurable to be able to do things with them. And there's some of you have helped me with things where maybe you hated what we were doing, but hopefully you did it because you love me and you enjoyed helping me. I appreciate that very much. I know it's that way for children. Sometimes, you know what? I know you guys don't like to clean or do whatever. You guys, I know you do it because you love me. And that's why you do it, right? That's why you guys will keep doing it, because you love me. That's true. I don't know why you guys are laughing. This is how it ought to be to serve the Lord. Man, sometimes as a Christian, you're called to do things that are not going to be fun. You're called to do things that are not pleasurable. They're not enjoyable. Man, you don't have to take joy in the task. You have to take joy in the God that you're serving. You have to take joy in who you're serving. Think about it for just a moment. Almighty God, creator of the universe, your creator, and he wants to use you for something. That's awesome. That's something that we ought to be excited to do something for him, to serve him. And if we think about Jesus, do you really think that he enjoyed the suffering on the way to the cross? There's no way that he enjoyed it. There's no way that it was pleasurable. There's no way that it was fun. But I tell you what, I guarantee you he took joy in serving the Father and in serving us, because he did that out of obedience to the Father and so that we could be redeemed. He did that in joy for us and for the Father, not because it was pleasurable. As a matter of fact, it was the opposite of pleasurable. It was terrible. It was a terrible murder on the cross, and he did it because he had joy in serving his people. Man, that is a good God. That's a good model for a reason to serve and to do things that you maybe don't want to do in your life. Serve the Lord with gladness. Then it says to come before his presence with singing. Man, this is where praise takes you, into his presence. When we praise the Lord, it takes us to his presence. The Hebrew word right here for presence means face. Man, if you want to see the Lord, guess what? Sing his praises. If you want to see him, sing his praises. If you're feeling beat up and destroyed and let down, our first inclination is, I need to get in the prayer closet and I need to tell God all the stuff that's wrong with me, all the stuff that I need him to fix. Man, what we ought to do if we want to see his face is we ought to sing his praises, and we will enter into his presence. And he does want to know what you desire. He does want to know what's going on in your life. But man, if you want to see the face of God, it comes from praise. It comes from seeking him, not so that he can do something for you, but so that you can be in his presence. Man, in his presence, that's where healing takes place, in the presence of the Lord. It's not, listen, our God's not Cupid. He doesn't like shoot you like a healing arrow. The healing comes in his presence. It comes from seeking him, and that starts with praise. It starts with going after him, of going after his face, and we've got to seek him above all things. Come before his presence with singing, with gladness. And verse 3 tells us, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Man, we got to know that the Lord God, that Jesus Christ is the one true God. He's the one true God. And just like I shared last week with freedom, freedom starts with belief. So does praise. Praise comes with belief. It comes believing that he's Lord, that he's creator of heaven and earth. He's the giver of blessings. and that he created us. And it comes with a belief that's not just some Bible story. It's not just some Sunday school kid's story, Adam and Eve and how God created things. Listen, he really did. You've got to have a grasp on that and know, why would God waste his time creating you? He wouldn't waste his time creating you. He would not waste his time creating you. He did it for a reason, for a purpose. Without God, listen, you would not exist. The atheist, they wouldn't exist without the very God that they deny. That's truth. They wouldn't even exist without him. And we need to consider that while we're in this life, man, the progress that we've seen, the changes that we've seen, if we're a believer, man, that those two are all credit to God. It's praise God for what he's done. And I'm one that I used to really believe that the things that I had in life were because I worked hard, because I earned them. I used to really, really believe that. I'm serious. I thought, every job that I've ever had, I was quickly trusted by management and given more responsibility and moved up or was given different roles. And I really thought it was because I was the hardest worker in the place. I'm serious. I thought that every single time. It's because of what I've done. It's because of who I am. And now I look back and see the things in my life, the way that they've gone, and I know that a lot of those things, they were just the blessing of God. And I wasn't even following him at the time. It was bringing me to the point where I am today and where I'm going in the future. You know, I believe I'm a better husband, father, friend, and man in general than I used to be. But listen, it's not because I worked hard. It's not because I worked hard. Listen, the result of what I am today, this is God's handiwork, not Tim's. Listen, if this was Tim's handiwork, he would not be standing right here today. He'd be on a yacht in the Bahamas counting his bills. All right? I mean, really, most people, if from a young age, if you ask, what do you want? It's money, fame, fortune. I want to be able to buy whatever I want, do whatever I want. That's exactly what I wanted. If I was a work of my handiwork and I could have made me who I wanted to be, it would not have been a pastor. I'm just telling you. That was not my dream growing up all throughout my life. I'm a result of God's handiwork. I'm a result of who he's created me to be. The blessing that he's had, the favor that I've had, and listen, and the pruning that he's done. Dear Jesus, have you done some pruning on old Tim? I tell you what, I've really had some stuff cut off and cut out of my life. Thank you, Lord. I'm dead serious. Thank you, Lord. And there's more to be trimmed. There's absolutely more to be trimmed. But listen, what happens when you prune? Not only does it grow back, but it's better. It's more beautiful. It produces more. It's healthier. Man, that's what God does in our lives. Not only does he create us, but he blesses us, he gives us favor, and even better is that he prunes us. Man, when we're going through stuff in our life, sometimes it's God just removing some junk that's holding you back from producing. Stuff just needs cut off, thrown into the fire, gotten rid of. But God has a plan, he has a purpose, and we know in Philippians 1:6, it's one of my favorite verses, is to be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Man, God who created you, that shapes you and molds you, he will continue to do so. But remember, it's he who made us, not of ourselves. It's not something that we have done. He knows everything about us, and he loves us anyway. Praise Jesus. I mean, think about that. The dirtiest, deepest things about you, that Jesus knows those things. And he still died on the cross for you. Man, he made us. He continues to remake us. Praise you, Lord. Man, God is good. Tells us that we are also his people. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know what this speaks of? This speaks of intimate care. We're his people. This is possessive. His people. He will do anything for his people. And he's our shepherd. And in John 10:14, Jesus even tells us, he says, I am the good shepherd who knows his sheep. And again, he knows everything about you, because he has a personal, intimate knowledge of you, the good and the bad. But listen, this is why that's great, because he knows your weaknesses. He knows where you need protection. He knows the things that you need guarded from. He knows where you need guided to. That's what a good shepherd does for the sheep. A good shepherd guides them to safety, protects them from harm. But no matter how good a shepherd is, listen, a sheep can just run off. A sheep doesn't have to listen to the shepherd. If the sheep darts away towards danger, doesn't listen to the familiar voice of the shepherd, the sheep can find themselves in a very dangerous place. A very dangerous place, and it's not the shepherd's fault. It's never the shepherd's fault. And the same goes for us. If we listen to the voice of the Lord, man, he will protect us. He will direct us with his rod and his staff. Jesus is praiseworthy because he's always looking out for you. He will come. He will find you. He will leave the flock and he will go find the missing sheep. Absolutely. He's the good shepherd. He cares about you. He's looking out for you. Verse 4 tells us that we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Man, Jesus wants worship that's thankful. It's thankful. The Old Testament, when the worshipers would come to the Lord's temple, they would enter through the gates and into the courtyards and they would sing songs of thanksgiving. And as they gathered to seek his presence, they did this very thing, to be thankful to him. And listen, this ought to be our priority when we gather together. Our priority is not to petition. Our priority is not to hear something great from the message. Our priority is not to have good fellowship with others. The priority has to be to enter into his presence with thanksgiving. To enter into his presence in a way that's pleasing to him. And that includes in verse 1, joy, and in verse 4, thanksgiving. That's what the Lord desires from us. Joy for what he's done. Thanksgiving to him for what he's done. And again, no matter what our circumstances are, we should be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Do you want to know God's will for you? To be thankful in all circumstances. I know that's hard. I feel like I've said that statement like 50 times in the last month, because it is hard. And I know there's some of you are probably dealing with that right now. But the Lord's will for you is to be thankful in all circumstances. This is why. Because if we can be thankful in all circumstances, it means that we see him through the circumstances. You can't be thankful in circumstances if the circumstances are all that you see. But if you can be thankful in all your circumstances, it means that you can see past those and you can see a God who loves you. It means that you can see past the circumstances and you can see a God who cares for you, who desires good for your life. That's why his will is that we are thankful in all circumstances, because he just wants us to be focused on him, on the good things of life, the goodness of God. No matter what our circumstances are, we need to be thankful, because the truly good things we have in life are from the Lord. But they're also in him. They're in him. There's Christ provides all these things for us. I'm just going to rattle these off. So if you want the list afterwards, email me. I'll give it to you. But in Christ, there's salvation. 2 Timothy 2:10. In Christ, you are declared righteous. Justification. Romans 3:24. In Christ, you are made righteous. Sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:2. In Christ there is wisdom. 1 Corinthians 4:10. The veil of spiritual blindness and confusion is taken away in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:14, in Christ you are a new creation, not who you were. 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ we have freedom. Galatians 2:4, in Christ we are all welcome, aside from race, gender, age, all these things. Galatians 3:28, in Christ we are seated in heavenly places. Man, this means above all bondage, above all sickness, above the things of this world. Ephesians 2:6, in Christ we are brought close to Jesus. Ephesians 2:13, in Christ there is boldness and there is faith. 1 Timothy 3:13, in Christ we have our calling and grace. 2 Timothy 1:9, in Christ there is true unity in the body. Romans 12:5, and in Christ there are all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3. Man, now tell me that we don't have a reason to be thankful. We have a reason to be thankful of the God that we serve and who he is and what we have in him. And if you still don't think that there's a reason, we'll read verse 5. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." There's one thing about God. He's unchanging. Listen, this means that his character, who he is, does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was good yesterday, he's good today, and he's going to be good tomorrow. And we've got to believe that God is good, or the rest of that, you can throw it all out the window. You've got to believe that God is good. You've got to believe that God is for you. We can't compare him to humans. Listen, sometimes I'm good and sometimes I'm not. You know when I'm good? When I'm following the Spirit. You know when I'm not? It's when I'm following the flesh. Your husband, wife, mother, father, brother, sister, friend, enemy. Sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're not. That's how people are. There is none like our God. He's always good. And for that alone, we should praise him. For that alone, we should praise him. That, Lord, no matter what's going on, you're always good. And if you can't think of any other reason in the world to thank and praise God, listen, there's a reason that's beyond this world. It's called his mercy endures forever. Man, that's beyond this world. That's something that it's beyond even what we can really comprehend. But if we can grasp this alone today, man, you won't be able to help but praise the Lord. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. You know what the penalty for sin is? It's death. Eternal death, separation from the Lord forever. But Jesus has mercy on us, meaning that even though we deserve death, he gives us life. It's something that's beyond this earth. It's something that's beyond this just earthly living, making it day to day. He gives us life. That's eternal life, which is just knowing him. Eternal life's not a place that you go. Eternal life is knowing Christ. That begins right now. That begins today. And there's nothing in this life that compares to it. Nothing. If you don't know him, I pray that today is your day for that. Mercy is something to be thankful for. Mercy is something that is praiseworthy. We need to praise him for it every single day. And really, I want to even encourage you guys. I mean, think about this. Write it down if you can. Every day this week when you wake up, try this for just a week. The very first thing you do, start your day with thanksgiving and praise. Listen, that has to be in place of, I don't want to get up yet. Okay, that's not starting with thanksgiving and praise. And that's what I do. I'm just telling you, that's what I do every morning. I'm not pointing fingers here. I hit snooze so many times that a lot of times my snooze shuts off and it doesn't work anymore. Like whatever the limit is, 10 times or whatever, I must do mine 11. But I mean, just for 1 week, let's just wake up in the mornings and let's praise God. Let's praise him for what we do have. Praise him for another day of life. Praise him for our children, for our parents, for our friends and family. Let's praise him for the jobs that we do have. Even if you don't like it, you could have none. Praise him for being able to be a part of a church body that I hope and pray loves you and builds you up and edifies you. Praise him for every good thing that you can think of in your life. Just start your day with that and just see if it doesn't lead you into his presence. Man, how great would it be every morning to just wake up and just, bam, start the day in the presence of the Lord. Listen, I don't have that. I mean, if some of you guys might, and that's great. Glory to God that he's done that in your life. But I don't have that where I start every day in the presence of the Lord, because I start most of my days with not wanting to get out of bed. But if we can just for 1 week just start with praise and thanksgiving and see if it doesn't enter us into the presence of the Lord every day, how much better our week could go. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Man, a chosen generation. That's what we are right now today. We're a chosen generation. Royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. I want you to say right now, I am God's special person.
I am God's special person.
Say it like you mean it. I am God's special person. Man, you are God's special person. We need to proclaim his praises because he has called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Man, that is praiseworthy. And to me, I think it means it's time for a celebration. I think it's time for a celebration that we proclaim the praises of this mighty God who has called us out of darkness, because we're his special people. So we're getting ready to do this. We're going to do what Psalm 100 tells us to do. We're going to shout with joy. Listen, if you like to sing the words and the person next to you likes to shout, don't be annoyed with them. Let them shout. They're doing what the Lord has said. Shout to the Lord. Shout with joy. We're going to serve with gladness. We've got that going on right here. We've got people serving with gladness. We're going to sing in his presence. We're going to proclaim that he is the one and only true God and that we are his people. This is what we're going to proclaim. And we're going to thank and bless him because, listen, he is good and his mercy endures forever. That's the God we're going to worship. So stand up to your feet. Listen, we don't have to be confined to our seats. You can get out. You can dance in the front. You can dance down the aisle. You can't do whatever you want, but within reason, if it pleases the Lord. Get out of your seats. Let's worship the Lord.